tonight. I forgot about that last part, but it sounded good from where I was tonight. It's good to be here tonight. Good to welcome you to our services here at Del Rey. And we do appreciate so many like Josh who are capable and able song leaders. We always have beautiful singing here, and that's always very encouraging. We want to welcome you to our services tonight. We know it's Labor Day weekend. Many of our folks are on the road, but we have some who are visiting with us, and we want you to know how thrilled we are to be able to welcome you to our services here tonight. We hope that the time that you spend with us will be such that you'll want to come back and be with us every time you have an opportunity. Priorities, putting first things first. That's important for us as Christians to try to carry out in our everyday Christian lives. This morning we begin talking about some passages of Scripture where the Bible mentions putting first things first. These are things that we need to consider. These are things that we need to meditate upon and try to make a part of our everyday lives. This morning we talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, and we emphasized those Macedonian brethren who first gave themselves to the Lord. And then we also talked about how that we need to have a willing mind, a determination to do God's will in our everyday lives. As we look at some other passages of Scripture tonight where the Bible talks about these first things that we need to emphasize, I want us to note the Lord's instructions to the scribes and Pharisees about putting first things first. Over in Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 25, of course, Matthew chapter 23, we find this scathing rebuke that our Lord gave these individuals. And of course, Jesus' main concern about these scribes and Pharisees was their hypocrisy. They would say one thing, and then they would turn right around and do another. Jesus would say to them on one occasion, "Don't do after their works," not because their works are bad, but Jesus said, "They say and do not." They're two-faced. They're hypocrites, saying one thing and then turn right around and doing another thing. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and platter, but within you are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean out the inside of the cup and platter, that the outside may also be clean." Now, that was one of the problems with these scribes and Pharisees. They were very concerned about their outward appearance. They were very concerned about receiving the praise and the accolades of other people. And they wanted to appear to be righteous on the outside. And they were very fanatical about making sure all their drinking vessels and the vessels that they ate out of, the cup and the platter, they wanted these things spotlessly clean. They went overboard regarding keeping things pure. They were concerned about impurity. Jesus said to these folks, "You're just as dirty on the inside." The inside, the heart, is filthy and corrupt. Jesus said, "What you need to do, first of all, is clean up the inside. You need to get your heart right with God first. And then these other things will take care of themselves." Down in verse 14, Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you shall receive the greater condemnation." Can you imagine that? Here they were, outwardly trying to show care for the widows, praying for the widows, making a show out of that prayer, and then they would turn right around and rob them. They were just doing it for show. It really didn't mean anything to them. And yet, their lives contradicted what they say. Now, what's the Lord saying here? He's saying, first of all, you need to make sure your heart is right. You need to make sure your attitude is what it needs to be. Clean up the inside, and then the outside will also be pure and clean. If you look at verse 15, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves." Now that expression there, compassing land and sea, to make one proselyte would be likened to our expression, leave no stone unturned. I mean, they went to great lengths to proselyte people, but they weren't trying to convert them to God. They tried to convert them to their particular sect. And because of that, their conversion was not genuine. It wasn't really to God. And Jesus said, as a result of this, you make him twice, twofold, more the child of hell than yourselves. You're making him something that's not genuine. In verse 27, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, you're likened unto whited tombs or sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." This refers back to the custom they had of whitewashing those tombs. And these tombs that were built maybe inside a wall or a bank, these would be made to be so attractive and clean. They would be whitewashed. But the Lord said, you folks are just like those tombs, those whited sepulchers. You look pretty good on the outside. You put on a good show. But on the inside, there's decay. There's corruption. There's all uncleanness. That's why he said in verse 28, even though you outwardly appear righteous unto men, within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. He said they were desiring to have the praise of men. They wanted to look good. They wanted the outward expressions of their godliness, we might say, to appear to be righteous to those who would observe. And yet, God said, what you need to do first of all is clean up the outside. Now, I wonder sometimes if this might not apply to us in some ways, that we might go to great lengths to appear to be righteous and godly and holy to other people as they observe us. I wonder sometimes maybe when we find ourselves guilty of sin, and we recognize that it's a sin. I wonder sometimes maybe if we don't go through the outward form of getting those sins forgiven, maybe we confess those sins even in a public way, but we stop and fail to realize what the root problem is. And that is our heart is not right in God's sight. I think about the example of David long ago and how David sinned. We know David was guilty of adultery with Bathsheba. To cover that up, he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed. Terrible things David was guilty of. Murder and adultery. And of course, David was confronted by that sin by Nathan the prophet. And in Psalms chapter 51, down in verses 2 and 3, David then did not mince words. He said, "I've sinned. I've sinned greatly in your sight. I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me." And that's wonderful, isn't it, for an individual to be able to acknowledge their sins, to say, "Yes, I've been wrong, that I have messed up, I've sinned in the sight of God." That's something that needs to be done. But notice how David didn't stop right there. Notice how David continued down in verse 10. David said, "Create within me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Now, David understood one thing. It's not enough just to say, "Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that sin I committed with Bathsheba. I'm sorry for the sin of murder that I committed against Uriah." David understood that that was not enough. He knew he had to make his heart right with God. And brethren, that's exactly what we need to do as well. Now, we can put Band-Aids on symptoms from time to time, but the cure is the heart. The cure is what's on the inside. That's why we sing that song sometimes, "Purer in heart, O God, help me to be." And that's where our focus needs to be. Jesus told those scribes and Pharisees, "First of all, you clean up the inside. And once you clean the inside, then the outside will be what it needs to be." And I hope all of us can focus on that particular aspect of our lives. Only the Lord knows our motives. Only the Lord knows what we're really thinking. But we need to remember the Lord does know. And that's why we need to be concerned about making sure our motives are pure, that our motives are true, that we have a heart that is one that is receptive to God's will. And when we find our lives out of harmony with the will of God, that our attitude of heart is going to be such that we'll do whatever it takes to make sure that our lives are once again lined up the way God would have those lives to be. Do you know the Lord also had something else to say about putting first things first? Over in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 23, the Bible says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift at the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Now, brethren, we need to realize that our worship to God is not going to be acceptable to Him when we are at odds with our brethren. And there's really no use in our trying to worship God acceptably, and at the same time, there's animosity, there is ill will between us and our brethren. The Bible says, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." I can't control you. I can control me. And so if it's up to me, there's not going to be any animosity. If it's up to me, there's not going to be any ill will. I'm going to do my part. And if I do my part and you do your part, then we will be unified. We will be a moving force for good, for God, in this world. And so we cannot worship God acceptably knowing that a brother has something against us. The Bible says we need to go first to that individual. We need to make things right. Once we make things right, then we come and we worship our God. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, the Bible says, "Moreover, if your brother trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother." And so if somebody has wronged us, it really doesn't matter if that brother or that sister in Christ has sinned against us. We who have been sinned against have the responsibility to go to the one that we feel has sinned against us and express our feelings. Tell that individual of that fault between us and him alone. What a wonderful formula. What a wonderful plan for getting along with each other. And as I've said in days past and gone, I believe that perhaps is the least obeyed command in all the Bible. Because you see, the easiest thing to do is to criticize. The easiest thing to do is to make a mountain out of a molehill, isn't it? The easiest thing to do is just to let things blow up out of proportion. When if one will just carry out the simple command of God's word, most, if not all, problems are solved very, very simply. And in such a way, as a matter of fact, that the bond of closeness between those two individuals will be perhaps stronger than it ever has been before. And yet, when we have the attitude that I can hate, that I can resent, that I can criticize my brethren, we cannot worship God acceptably. We're deceiving ourselves. Jesus says, first of all, you need to get right with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. One final thought tonight, and the lesson's yours. Matthew chapter 6, the Lord talks about the idea of putting first things first. And you'll recall in Matthew chapter 6 that Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He'll hate the one and love the other. He'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. In verse 19 of Matthew 6, Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Later on, our Lord encourages us about not worrying concerning the things of this life. Jesus says, look, doesn't God take care of the fowls of the air? Doesn't God clothe the grass of the field? Does not God even take care of the lilies? And Jesus says, are you not much better than they? What's the Lord saying here? Why fret? Why worry? God's going to take care of you. God's in control. Trust Him. Be faithful to Him. God will provide. God is going to take care of you. Even in those situations sometimes in life that seem hopeless and even desperate, God's going to come through. God will take care of us in those desperate situations that may be ours from time to time. But then in verse 33, the Lord concludes that chapter. And he says there, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We need to put first things first. And one of those first things involves the kingdom of God. Think about this little boy who came to vacation Bible school at this particular church. And man, he was very impressed. And he even talked his mother even into bringing him to church the following Sunday after vacation Bible school. And he was so happy to be there. He had the same teacher in Bible class that he had in vacation Bible school. And boy, she taught a great lesson. And it so impressed him that he even talked his mother even to coming back on Sunday night. And he was so glad to be there. Couldn't wait to see his teacher. And he got there and he couldn't find her. And finally he asked somebody, where's Mrs. So-and-so, my teacher? And he was told by the particular man, "Why, I'm sorry, son, she hardly ever comes on Sunday night." And the little boy was heard to say, "But she said, seek first the kingdom of God." And that little boy never darkened the door of the church building again. You see, we've got to put first things first. How can we put the Lord's kingdom first? Do we not need to put the Lord's kingdom first when it comes to the use of our time? I know we're busy, so busy. Our schedules are full, particularly when we've got children involved in various activities. All the time is already allotted for. How much time are we giving to the Lord each day? We need to put the Lord first when it comes to the use of our time. Or what about our influence? Our influence as we go about on our jobs, or maybe our influence at school, the words that we use, the attitudes that others observe in our lives. Are we seeking the kingdom first by presenting a positive attitude and spotlight on Jesus Christ and His church by our behavior? Just by how we act, we can open up doors to share the good news of Jesus Christ to other people. You see, we need to seek first the kingdom of God. Now, why? Well, Jesus Christ gave Himself for the church, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. He purchased the church with His own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. Doesn't that church deserve our utmost priority? Doesn't the church deserve our attention? Shouldn't we do everything that we can do to build up the cause of Christ as much as we can here in our community? I hope today that we've seen the importance of putting first things first. And I realize we've only touched the hem of the garment. There's a lot of things to really think about and contemplate when it comes to putting first things first. But I want to challenge you this week as you go about your activities, as you go about doing your things at school, maybe your activities in sports or your job or wherever. I want you to think about putting first things first by giving God some of your time. Not just private time where maybe you read the Bible and pray, which ought to be a daily habit, but spend some time doing something to influence another person for Jesus Christ. I think about our Friends and Family Day that's coming up. I think we underestimate the power of a personal invitation. So many times we make up somebody's mind for them before we even take the time to ask. What's the worst that can happen? Well, they're not going to be here if you don't ask. They still may not come if you do ask, but they might come if you ask as well. So let's seek first the kingdom of God. Tonight we're going to sing a song of encouragement. Maybe you haven't been putting first things first. Maybe you haven't given the Lord yourself as a living sacrifice, Romans 12 and verse 1. Maybe you need to obey the gospel tonight. Maybe you are here and you've been thinking about obeying the gospel, but you just not yet made that decision. Tonight, in simple trusting faith, if you're willing to repent of your sins, you can be baptized into Christ upon the confession of your faith in Him. Tonight, the invitation is yours if you need to respond.